Are you getting my point? He knew that Laban was in for it. He wasn't playing games with Laban. He said, this thing, I am sure it will work. It is you that don't understand. So when we're talking about vision, therefore, is something that you can conceive. I understand what I'm trying to say now. That is, to you, it is reasonable. It doesn't mean that it's within the limits of what everybody else has done. But to you, God has given you the ability to understand that this thing can be done. And that's why vision is in stages. Like we said at the beginning, that's why you move to, as you're moving towards the horizon, you see further. Are you getting my point? As you move towards where you can see, you see further again. And what we are saying is that conceive the ones you can see. That is why it is necessary, listen to this, to get the ability to conceive. Now, you have to understand, say that it's not just a matter of sitting down and dreaming idle dreams. That is, this thing we're talking about is getting understanding, becoming enlightened enough to be able to conceive something big. The people who conceive the ideas of flying in the air. Look, listen to me. The fact that birds were flying alone gave them an idea that this thing can be done. Then they spent their time trying to find out how it could be done. Some succeeded, some failed, many failed. And those who succeeded learned from the errors of those who failed and how it will not work. Do you understand the point I'm making? Eventually, they got it. I'm trying to emphasize that point. What we're talking about vision, when we're talking about vision, we're talking about what you can conceive. That's why we are discussing today on how to enlarge your ability to conceive. Your ability to see great things. You know, last week we ended with something. That's where we ended last week. I said I'll continue from there, but I thank God for how far we have gone today anyway in discussing this one. I said there are two things that are important for you to receive that ability. And that's why we read from Daniel chapter 9. Let's go back there again so that I can use that one to emphasize it. It said, I, Daniel, observed in the books the number of the years which was revealed as the word of the Lord to Jeremiah. Verse 3 says, so I gave my attention to the Lord God to seek him by prayer and supplications with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. Now, there are two things we said here. So number one is what? Information. We said that last week. Information. Now, listen. Stop trying to reinvent the wheel. Remember the example I gave last week? Said that one young man somewhere, he built a table fan and we're supposed to be impressed. When all of us know that all you need to do is collect nail corn and packer and abort, you will see the diagram for building your own there. And most of you did science those days. You also tried. Do you understand my point? And listen, one I know I even did, which worked, though it was difficult to install, was an electric bell. The diagram was very clear in abort. What am I saying? You want to enlarge your vision beyond what everybody else has seen, at least know where they were. Get informed concerning what is going on. You must be a reader in that field that is yours. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Listen, if before you start catching vision of new things to invent in engineering, know the ones that have invented already. Before you spend all your time inventing something, you find out that the patent for it was given 75 years ago. I mean, you will feel like a fool. You understand what I'm trying to say? That's this one. The U.S. patent office said that this one, we gave the patent to one boy 75 years ago. What's your problem? This is not new. But you see, the ability to see further than what other people have seen is increased by knowing at least where they are already. That's why I'm emphasizing this again. Listen, education is not to make money. It's just purely for the purpose of being educated. No one life, everybody, they see a whole graduate. What is the whole about graduate? No, what is the whole about him? A whole graduate. Listen, I have read book a little bit. No, I have. I don't read book for this life small. And I can assure you that every day, the more you read, the more you read. That it gives you the ability to realize what you don't even know. Any man who thinks he knows everything obviously knows very little and is aware of very little. That's why he thinks he knows everything that exists. Now, I was working the other day with one of my residents in the office where it was a particular tissue we were examining. So I said something, so he pulled out a book to read out something. And as he was reading, I said, what? Read that again? He read it. But two of us just started laughing spontaneously. So these people know God kill us with information that there's so much. Listen, I've been practicing as a specialist pathologist for this is 2006. I qualified in 99. I'm still seeing things that I'm like, what? Are you serious? That is part of it. You are getting my point. That is, there's so much to know. You can't know everything, but you must continue learning. Do you get what I'm going to say? You must continue. And it's as you continue to learn that God allows you to see the problem area so you can solve them. Do you understand the point I'm making here? That's how God... Look, Daniel said it here. One day I picked a book and I discovered that Jeremiah has prophesied that for 70 years they will be in captivity. So I understood what to do from now on. I caught a vision. That's what he was saying. Suddenly I understood that we should start getting ready to leave here. Okay? No, it's time to get ready. So he began to do the next thing. And we're going to talk about that. So number one is you must be informed. One of the days I knew that my wife was not a banker was when I said, "What is it? How is the interest rate in your bank?" And she did not know. I said, "There's nothing you are doing there. That is this one, I just job. Now this one for you, not a job. That is just work. You're working in a bank. How much are people lending money now?" I'm not that. I said, no, forget it. Your calling is not here at all. Just come home. your calling is not here at all. You understand what I'm trying to say? That if your passion is in something, such things, you will know it. You will know it. You know, because my wife is an accountant by training, I've seen a lot of funny things people do in I can. If you can be an accountant, I can. They say all kinds of things. You know, I'm sorry if you're an accountant, but something there annoys me. They give the degree to anybody who can read and write the exam. 90% of those who are chartered accountants in Nigeria are not accountants. They can't audit a company. Now, it's not just their ability. Their heart is not even there. They are pursuing that certificate to get, you know, so that when they move from this bank to the next one, they will be made a manager in the next one. That's what they are doing. And as soon as he gets the certificate, I can. He files it. Everywhere he goes, "I want a bigger job." Why? I can. You don't... Do you get what I'm saying? Tell the man to audit a company. He can't. No, he really can't. I'm explaining something. That you see, people are not pursuing, that's the problem, the areas that they have passion. They are not pursuing it at all. Like my friend I told you was the guy who was talking to me a few days ago. I realized that, look, this guy is a doctor by training. I told you, so now finally you have recognized where you should be. This one of them waking you up at 12 minutes that somebody is not breathing properly. You know it doesn't concern you. You are trained. Look, listen. In Nigeria today, having a university degree doesn't guarantee you any job. And please, don't even fool yourself that it does. Don't anybody fool you. One day a lady came to me and said that she needed a job. I said, why? You know, I said, as what? I saw her first degree. I knew her before. I said, look, listen, it's difficult. I said, number one, there are two things. You're looking for a job where I am. All right. Number two, and I said, number one is that I am not in the employing level yet. All right. In your eyes, I may look big. But the way this structure is, nobody asks my opinion when they want to employ people. All right? And number two, I can't even help even if I wanted to. You're not qualified for the area and this environment. Your qualification is good, but we don't need it. So she said, maybe she should go back to school. I said, to go and do what? I said, to go and labor again so you can get a job. I said, look at your problem. You've not asked yourself, what can you do? You think this certificate must guarantee you a job? No. Ask yourself, what can I do? There are many reasons why you study one course or the other. Maybe they thought everybody told you that this is the one that makes money. That's the most popular reason these days in our country. This is the one that makes money. So go there. Or this one has a lot of prestige in it. Go there. Listen, the days of ignorance, let that one pass. Sit down and ask yourself. Now, thank God for the opportunity you've had to go to school. That has made you educated. It has enlightened you. Now you are an enlightened person. Now settle down and say, what can I do? Are you getting my point? Now, with that, you now start gathering information in that area. There was one man I was talking to the other day. I mean, when I met him, it was my wife's colleague. I thought I was a computer scientist by training. He was working the computer section of the bank where my wife was working. One day we got talking, I realized that this guy has a BSc banking and finance. I was surprised. How did you get there? He laughed. He said he wanted to do engineering in those days. It didn't work, so the first door that opened, I can't remember the details now. He said, but in his heart, he was ever dissatisfied with working, I think, as a teller in the bank or something. He never liked the job. So when the opportunity opened for training computer experts, so he ran in there. BSc, Banking and Finance. Then he started learning. Next time I saw him, he was working the same bank on computers. He had forgotten the banking and the finance. He said, this is what I always wanted to do. Do you get my point? Did he waste the first few years studying banking and finance? No, he didn't. Now he's educated. He's an enlightened person. I hope what I'm saying is making sense to you. He's educated. He's an enlightened person. And that's what life is. In that area where you now have your passion, start picking up information. It is good if you went to school after you had decided the area of your passion. Do you understand my point? So you tailored in that direction. But even if you didn't, it doesn't mean anything. What you need is to start gathering information. It is when you have enough information that you can catch vision for the next level. That's what, you know, some kinds of Christianity, I was telling you last week, is designed to ensure that Christians don't do well in life. Christianity that does not read newspaper is not a good one. Do you understand my point? The Christianity that only reads books that have the title as the Second Coming of the Lord. Do you follow what I'm saying? That is, once the book is not the exposition of Romans chapter 6, you will not read, you are not a good Christian. Are you hearing what I'm trying to say? Someone was telling me that, okay, it was during the book fair. I was looking at some books on economics. So I asked the young lady attending that desk. I said, I was asking her for the prizes. I was picking the one on the economic recovery of South Korea. So she asked me that, am I a business person? I said, no. She kept asking at the end of the day, I said, listen, I am a doctor. Is that what you want to know? Okay, I'm a doctor. She was like, so what was your problem with these books? I said, listen, apart from being a doctor, I'm a teacher of the word of God. You hear? For that reason, I must be informed. He said, okay, it's true. It's true, it's true. I mean, I read all kinds of things. I picked that, I would have bought it, but the book was extremely technical. That's why I didn't buy it. I went through it. It was very technical, you know. The economic terminologies where the guy was giving it was pure technical. So that's why I dropped it. If he had made a bit loser, I would have bought the book and gone home. I have one with me right now. The British economy from 1914 to 19. I say, people say, what are you doing with it? Don't worry. That's how I get informed. That's how I can look, because I'm preaching to people. Remember what I said before? Jesus never gave money to make anybody rich. He gave a few to the poor. But the way he healed the sick, a man is sick, he lay hands on him, suddenly he becomes well. The one is dead, the one that's dead, he wake him up. He never did that for any poor man. You know that? He said, the poor have the gospel preached to them. So you know what Jesus used to do? He used to preach gospel to the poor. He said, poor, sit down, sit down. He go better. Your life will be better. They will say, amen. Sow your seed in the morning. And that, amen. He made them rich, I'm telling you. But I was saying, right now, that's why, honestly, I'm sorry to say, that's why no pastor can explain to me his principle for giving enduring breakthrough because he gave one offering right now. Never. Waiting. God only uses us into soft crisis. Go and read the Bible. He give you enduring prosperity like that. Read your whole scriptures. He never did. Psalm 126. Restore our captivity, O God. God said, he that sows in tears shall reap with joy. That there is a period of sowing and reaping. Listen, that thing, we've applied it spiritually, it is good. But what he was saying literally is that if you want me to restore your captivity, start investing in something. He said, he that goes for bearing precious seed shall doubtless again come with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. What he was saying is that in the time of economic crisis, go out and look for the business you can do. That's what he was saying. No? Jesus didn't do it. Did you see Jesus do it? Sick, but they're okay. When he comes to poor men, he said, the seminar tomorrow, sure you'll be around. The poor people say, yes, sir. He starts preaching to them because there is a process. Just for completion's sake. He said, I know this man. He told this story. There's what the Bible calls when the clouds are full, they pour forth rain. There are men who have been doing things that are right. God just needed them to do one last thing to break them into harvest. All these quick results, they don't last. They can't last. There's no how they will last. There is no how. How are they going to last? That was why Jesus never did it to anybody. Everybody's used to walking. So he would lay hands on the man who's crippled. He begins to walk. He gets used to walking. You understand my point? That's not a problem. But you make a man who was a beggar yesterday a billionaire tomorrow, he will cause more harm than good, both to himself and to the society around him. It's a fact. You did nothing before Jesus ever lifted people to levels. He told us parables. He first gave them some to test them according to their ability. Let me tell you what he does. He trains a man. He increases him gradually. Are you getting my point? He pushes him this way. As the man is getting there, he enlarges his borders again. Then the man keeps walking. Then one day he looks back and says, oh boy, we have come far. God said, yes, I was the one that brought you this far. Are you getting what I'm trying to say here? It's important. It's very important we get this point clear. And listen, one of my problems with contemporary Christian preaching is this way of making life impulsive. Impulsive living. Listen, God is not trying to make life impossible for you. I noticed something in the scriptures in the book of Luke that Jesus actually had itinerary. He used to plan. He said, these are the cities we are going to next. He will send his disciples ahead. Let's not make it look as if God is very impossible. Just do something and then something so strange will happen. He used to have plans. I hope you are getting the point I'm making. He will say, okay, these are the places. So he will send disciples there two by two. Those ones go ahead announcing that the master is coming. They are the type of people you see baptizing. Do you understand my point? They are the type of people you see explaining things. They heal small diseases. And when they see difficult ones, they say, wait, Jesus will be here. He's going to be here in about 4 days. And he used to go from one place to the other. I'm explaining something. The same manner God builds you up gradually. That's why Paul said, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to first build you up before delivering to you your own inheritance. And what we are teaching is that men have to participate with God in what God is doing. Do you understand my point? You cannot tell me you're an international businessman. You don't know exactly how much euro is exchanging for as against the dollar. I was saying that, look, Christians that are not informed, they are bad Christians. Do you get my point? They are very, very bad Christians. I remember one of my teachers, well, the friend of a teacher of mine when I was in secondary school, taking pride in the fact that he did not know who Idi Agbon was. As young as I was then, I knew this was foolishness. He was trying to tell us about holiness and sanctification, how they are not taking over with the things of this world. That the other day, somebody was telling him about, hey, what's that name again? That he didn't even know who he was. I said, who? They said, hey, Idi Agbon. I said, eh? Now, I was a teenager, a young boy, secondary school boy. But I said, this is foolishness. You do not know, if you don't know Buhari, I will pardon you, you don't know Idi Agbon. The chief of staff, supreme headquarters. Which only God's title is higher than that, okay? Chief of staff, supreme headquarters. Okay, Celestial Church of Christ, they have some more powerful titles. The most senior evangelist and supreme evangelist. And you're telling me you don't know that man. And you are in the country that he's ruling. Thank you very much. How do you pray? Say, Lord, we pray for Shagari right now. This is Shagari. God say Shagari. Okay. Shagari is in Sokoto relaxing. You know, I said, no, that one is not Christianity. Go and listen to our series on anatomy of prayer. There's what God called watchmen on thy walls. They watch to see what is going on. They must know what is going on. They know what the government is planning. They know what the economy indices are saying. They know things that are going on. Ignorant Christianity, listen to me, is not godliness at all. Are you getting my point? That is not godliness. It is good we lay the correct foundation in spiritual things. But listen, Oswald Chambers says, you cannot live in the spiritual realm. You must live on the earth. That mankind is not, we say it's a spirit, it's a soul. Yeah, look, other one than Jesus. I'm a disciple of Oswald Chambers in there. He said, a human being is spirit, soul, and body. Three of them put together. They are not, it's not separate. That is like Yoruba man would say, the one who touch nose, go touch the eye. The one who touch the flesh, go touch the spirit. You don't know that? That's why God will tell you that the spirit of a man will bear the infirmity. Something happening in his soul and his flesh. His spirit has to rise up to hold it up. to tell me that all these things are matters of the world. You know, people hide behind ignorance. You know, there are a lot of people who attend deeper life because they can't afford jewelry. It's not out of righteousness. You know that? You don't know? Now, there are people who do it because they are persuaded. You understand my point? There are a lot of people who do it because, look, let me put the other one so that you know that it's both sides. There are a lot of people who go to Pentecostal churches, all these happening churches, Christ Embassy, House on the Rock. There are a lot of people who go there because they cannot live a godly life. So when they come dressed like harlots to church, they know nobody will talk. Righteousness is far from them. So they go to where they are accepted in their iniquity. So what I'm trying to say is this. There are people who hide, who their problem is mental laziness. They want to make it look like spirituality. They are just plain mentally lazy. They don't know what's going on in the world. They make it look like I'm not of the flesh. They are as carnal as everywhere, you know, sand for ground. That's how carnal they are. The inability to discipline themselves to study is their problem. They hide it behind spirituality. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Listen, number one, you must be informed. Listen, you must be informed. You cannot lead people into the light, into brighter things, when you don't even know where they are right now. That is why it amazes me. No, I'm not saying, no, what I want to say, I'm not saying it's wrong, but I'm just saying the way I am. If they invite me now, come and preach in America, do you know, I'll be asking them, what am I going to say? I'm not saying that you don't preach, just rushing. I said, well, maybe you're exposed though, but me, I'm not. I'm a bush guy. You get my point? I said, I know some of them, they are busher than me, but... No, you know why I'm saying so? You know, one day, T.D. Jakes was preaching. He was talking about a man's car. He said he makes payments on that car, trying to say that car belongs to the guy. He didn't say he, you know, I said if it was a Nigerian preacher, he would have said, that guy, that car is his. He bought the car. You know what T.D. Jakes said? He said he makes payments on the car. I said, oh God, this is an American preacher. You know, in Nigeria, who makes payment on which car? You cash. Did the man buy it, payment in Cotonou? Cash! How much is this car? It is 1 million naira. I'll bring money complete. No, you don't make payments on any car in Nigeria. So when I'm preaching to people about how to buy a car, it will hurt me to relate with an American. You know it's very, very difficult. It will take me a while. I've always told people that I find it easier if I want to look for international ministry. Now, Uganda, Kenya, Botswana, you know, that's my point. No, really. No, and you know when I say this, people laugh, but I really mean it. Open door. I have never prayed, God, please open door for me to go to America to go and preach. I can go to America for conference. It is good. I can go and jolly small, go and visit my friends if I have the money. No problem. But to go and preach, no. So, excuse me, sir. Dear Lord, you know, this Cameroon, they are more corrupt than Nigeria. I think I should go there. There are problems of corruption. You never see corrupt people. Go to Cameroon. So what I'm going to say is that, if you're looking for a problem to preach against, I'll go to Cameroon. Why should I go to America? Why should I go to America as soon as they slow you down? If they were telling about my friend who was overspeeding. Good, you know what saved him? You know, he overspeed just to overtake a car. And as soon as he finished overspeeding, he looked behind, flashing. Ah, of course, he don't park. Two policemen don't come on. So, boy, you were breaking the speed limit of 40 kilometers an hour within the city. You know what saved him? Two things. Number one, he was just coming from hospital, so his jacket was still on him, his clinical coat. He had not removed it. So they respected him being a doctor. And number two, of course, instantly they don't punch their small equipment in their hand. Found that they had no criminal record, no traffic offense, nothing. He was a clean guy. So they let him go. I mean, I'm not used to that, though. Now, are you getting what I'm going to say here? That is, you must be informed about the area of your passion before you can ever hope to catch any vision. Do you understand the point I'm making? You must be. You know, I have a friend downstairs, Pastor A. You know, when you're talking about music, he likes entertainment. The guy will be giving you facts and figures, explaining things that happen. He has gone around researching. So you know he has, you know, you can't just come now. You know, one day a friend of mine, somebody came and said, "Bank, come and buy a Lexus." I said, "I don't need a car." He said, "No, we'll sell it." I said, "How much?" He said, $300,000. Now, it looked like a fantastic deal. A fantastic deal. Just buy $300,000. Say, we'll put money together, quickly buy it, and then we'll sell it after. But me, I don't know. I learned the lesson long ago. I don't do such things. So I told him that, okay,
Now, let me refer you to that guy. He buys cars and sells cars. I said, me, I don't. Ah, but this is quick money. That is how you enter into trouble. And one day I drove, a friend of mine gave me a car. This is just by the way. He said, he just wants to fling this car. The guy, I used to buy cars from him. The car to me looked very, very nice. He said they just brought the car in just 2 weeks ago, but they just want to fling it, you know, they just cheap amount of. And then I was coming down to Enugu. So he allowed me to drive the car all the way from Lagos to Enugu. Like, if I see anybody that wants to buy, I should let him know. So he will sell it cheap, he'll sell it cheap for me. That the car just came. So I told this other guy I was referring my friend to that time. I told him that, listen, you know, there is a car for sale, a Honda Accord. I repeated all the story the other guy told me. So the guy said, I've got no problem now. Tomorrow when you come work, I'll go look him. I said, fine. So I drove the car to work. From upstairs, it was on top. As I parked like this, he looked at the car. I walked up and said, oh God, this car was registered 3 years ago. I said, how did you know? He said, that's an Ikeja number. This series was crossed 2 years ago. He just told me that number was crossed 2 years ago. I looked at the guy, looked at the car. He said, oh God, they not tell you true. I said, I phoned my guy. I said, what do you mean? They told me, the guy said, well, you know what happened actually was that in the original owner, you know, story is already changing. This guy just took a good look at the car, looked at the car. And maybe the AC had one spare. They said, it's just gas. He said, oh, God, this one will be gas. You know why? He knows the business. He's informed about the business. The guy who wanted to quickly was flinging the car for me. You know, just car give away price, the dealer. It turned out that the car was not even worth the so-called giveaway price. That was why when they told me, buy Lexus and resell, I said, you shall not hang in my hand. Go and give somebody, somebody else who knows about it. That's the way life. I'm using this one to give you an example about how life is. If you are not informed, they will just look. You can't. Let me summarize in our message today. You cannot catch any serious vision if you are not informed. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? It's a matter of discipline. Now, I was saying something earlier. Education does not have to be formal. If I tell you that Albert Einstein, you know Albert Einstein, one of the greatest physicists of all time. I was discussing with one of my doctors the other day. He reads a lot about the man. So I mentioned to him that guy was not formally educated in physics. In my surprise to find out, he was not formally educated in physics. He learned physics by himself. Just sit down and look at things. We're discussing, you know, what I described was the doctor who did the autopsy on Albert Einstein, he stole the brain and kept it. It's really true. Albert Einstein's brain was missing. The doctor kept it. So they're saying that they are releasing some slides. People are studying now. They have noticed that. I say, that one is a lie. Which will take me to the next thing we are going to say. Albert Einstein was essentially inspired. And even he knew it. I will end with that. Please get this point clear. The next important thing, after having enough information, you must read for the sake of knowing things, not to get a job. That's what I was saying earlier. Now, after that, this is the way I understand it. Daniel said, after I had read in the books, then I now went to the Lord and gave attention, notice that, by prayers, supplication, with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. What I want to bring out is this. I use that to typify the second thing we talked about, meditation. There are two scriptures I want us to read to explain this. Open your Bible quickly to Daniel chapter 2, still in the same area. Daniel chapter 2. Something happened at the time Nebuchadnezzar dreamt a dream. You know the story. But what I want to quickly explain was that how Daniel, after he got some time and he decided to, and he prayed with his friends, and then they now got interpretation. Notice what he said in verse 29. Let me start from the 8. He said, however, there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries, and he has made known to King Nebuchadnezzar what will take place in the latter days. He said, this was your dream and the visions of your mind while on your bed. He said, as for you, O king, while on your bed, your thoughts turned to what will take place in the future. And he who reveals mysteries has made known to you what will take place. I want to bring out something here. If you notice that he's the man's thoughts turned somewhere before God reveals something to him. Do you understand what I'm saying? It was what he was thinking about. Listen, what occupies your mind determines the kind of things that you receive. That's why I keep telling you, don't join those in country is bad. If you keep on grumbling, country is bad, there's no future here, you can never receive the vision that will take you to great places. Don't ever forget, while people are shouting country is bad, people are making advances every day. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Listen, where people are grumbling about adversity, people are seeing opportunities. What am I saying? If you go around grumbling, things are bad, things are bad, you will never receive any inspiration. You will never receive any vision. You are informed. You have enough information. You know what the problems are. That as you are meditating on the problems, then God gives you an idea of how to solve it. Do you get what I'm trying to say? That is how God does it. Then suddenly you begin to have great ideas. And let me just say this quickly. If an idea appears too big for you, write it down. Keep it. Look at it later. You will have developed to the level where you can receive it now. Do you understand my point? If it may look so great, let me give you an example. A practical example. Maybe suddenly you realize that, maybe NEPA problem, for example, maybe power problems. That we can do something and then by the time you finish your calculation, realize that to start at all, to talk to anybody, you need at least 150 million naira. You look at yourself, you're the common for school, you use copper, you're just starting one small business. Don't throw it away. Don't say, this one is ridiculous. Just write the thing down, file it somewhere. Because it at least is a fact. What you don't write down, you soon forget. The Chinese man said, the faintest ink is better than the sharpest memory. There are materials I wrote long ago. I read them and I say, see revelation. If somebody had written them in a book, I would have paid to read it. Do you get what I'm trying to say? If somebody had written them in a book, I would have paid to read it. What I'm saying to you is very important. Write the thing down, keep it. You know what I'm saying? So, because when God gives you an idea, he's already arranging things to bring it to pass. Let me explain what I'm trying to say. You don't have any money now, no problem. But one day, God will give you a job somewhere. A small job that was going to pay you maybe 15,000 naira. But you will impress a man there as a man of intelligence. Do you follow what I'm saying? That is the man you did it for. So, man, this guy is sharp. Then one day you just start talking with him and he's like, are you serious? Yeah, this thing can be done, but it will cost a lot. Yes, I've actually done my calculations. I think this will cost about 150 million. And you are talking to a man who maybe even if only he does not have the money, he has people who together they will put it together. There's only remember, this thing can be done. Look, it wasn't your machinations. God gave you that inspiration for that day ahead of time. Are you getting what I'm saying? I'm emphasizing something here. The man has information. He knows what is going on. I don't like, look, there's a problem we have in Nigeria right now. People just go to school, get degrees for degree's sake. I've seen teachers who do, they are teaching physics. They don't discern between alternating current and direct current. And the guy is teaching physics. So let's forget all those degrees and issues. It's good. Go to school, get a degree, be educated. But I'm talking about being informed in the area of your specialty. Knowing what is going on. Don't have a degree in computer science and it's me, Banky, that will be teaching you the different kind of processors there are. So obviously you don't have anything, you know you are doing here. But look, this guy is already informed. Then God gives him an idea because he's meditating about solutions. And I don't want to bore you with too many references, but it's been found out that it's hard for your brain to actually differentiate after some time between things that really happened and the ones you imagined. Do you get my point? That the best... Now, let me. I didn't read this myself. I heard other preachers talk about it, but I've heard it from so many places I've come to believe it. They found out that, look, in fact, it was Mike Murdock I've heard say this, that they took students, all right, took them to the basketball court and they started practicing how to do free throws. Then they took the same number of students, took them somewhere, and they were meditating about doing free throws. At the end of the day, both of them did as well as each other. I was listening to Pastor Paul the other day. He said that some prisoners of war became expert golf players out of idleness. They had nowhere to go. They were put in small cages. So they would lie down in their minds, be playing golf. When they came out, they gave them golf. But in a few days, the guys were showing so much excellence. People didn't believe they're just coming out of confinement. Remember, we're talking about the power of your imagination. If you remember, we're talking about it then. The power of your imagination. Listen, it's as if God gives you the opportunity to practice some things ahead of time because he knows the opportunity is going to come. That's why it's so important what you think about. It's so because one day they will give you the opportunity. One of my colleagues, a friend in church the other day, told me something. He's a community health physician, and a job opened. And, you know, I mean, makes some good money by the side. So he went there, applied for it. So he said as they were, the person, it's all these foreign aid health programs, maybe it's sponsored by DFID, one of those people. So they needed somebody to do something, public health. So he came, he's a resident of community medicine, and he told me something that happened. This is the interesting part. The man said, can you do this, can you do that? He said, he told him, yes, I can do that, I can do that. So he was trying to give the man information. The man wasn't grasping enough. So he just pulled out his laptop, opened it, and, you know, opened some things he has taught and began to show the man things, presentation he has prepared, not for the man, for other things. So the man gave him the job there on the spot that, no, we don't need to discuss again. What are we discussing? You obviously know what you are doing. And he wasn't trying to impress the man. Just I wanted to give the man some information he have in his head, and the man wasn't grasping it. Just pulled out his computer, you know, just pulled out the bag, just opened the thing, and he started showing the man, trying to explain. The man, it's okay. The job is yours. All this rehearsing for interviews is because, listen, that is not your call in life. That's why you rehearse for interviews. No, really. That's why you rehearse for interviews. You know, it's good if you have to go for an interview, go for it. But quickly grow out of that level. You understand my point? Important people, they don't rehearse for interviews. They just call them. Okay, they discuss. Because the thing is part of the man. Do you get what I'm saying? It's part of him. And they know this guy's got the stuff, so nobody's wasting time trying to. He's not competing with 20 other people. The information that he brings from his mouth at a time. Remember the story of Joseph. What am I saying? Look, listen, God has created you to be what? The light of the world. You know the meaning of the light of the world? You give direction to people. Before you really can do that effectively, listen, you must be informed about the current problems, number one. And number two, constantly meditate about those things. Think about them. Look, listen to me. I'm not talking about just let us lie down now and meditate about what the Lord is doing. No. Maybe you are watching TV and they tell you that, look at the problem right now in the banking sector. So I want to give an example. One day I told one of my friends, now I'm a pathologist, all right? I trained how to, number of things. One of the things we do autopsies. A man dies, I find out what killed him. Now, when we started our training, it's one of the first things we did. Now, we had a chief that time that will finish a complete dissection, an autopsy in 15 minutes. I was so impressed. So, because it was a big guy, he hardly used to come down. So one day he came, before we could get there to go and see the guy, don't finish, don't come out in glove, begin come out. So you know the interesting part? One day I was in one clinic I used to work there just before I started. I was working there before I started residency, so I resigned shortly after I started residency. But this was before I resigned. So I would go there in the evening and lie down and on the couch. You know what I'm thinking about? Autopsy. So one day I came to work. So I was discussing with one of my colleagues. I said, I was thinking about this. I said, I have an idea. The guy looked at me and said, you mean you think about us after you leave this place? I started feeling very foolish. But do you know the interesting part? Shortly after, I became the fastest in the department also. It became a matter of common knowledge that that's in my own generation of people that went in there. If you want someone to do this thing fast, you call that guy. Do you understand my point? How did I get that skill? Everybody just finish the work and go home. Me, I was wondering, how come this guy can do this thing this fast? So when I think about some, next time I come to work and we have to do an autopsy, I put it into practice. Shortly after that, I found out I was faster than everybody else. I remember when I went for my exam at Ibadan. Because I didn't train in Ibadan, I trained in Lutz, but the exam was at Ibadan. So the day we came for autopsies, so there are some men assistants in there. So I was supposed to have 3 hours, all right, before the examiners would come in. So after about an hour, so I called the man to come and do something for me. The man turned around. Ah! He said, "Doc, have you finished?" I was like, "Yes. Any problem?" "Ah, you're very fast though." He had never seen it. He had never seen it. And you know what I was thinking in my mind? I am this slow because it's an examination. I have to do everything properly. If it wasn't, half of this time, I've left this place. How did the skill come? Because I thought about the things. You get my point. I'm giving an assignment. I'm getting you to understand something, and you must practice. I'm not talking about going around meditating about Kingsley, the fine girl you want to marry. No, but it's also good. You have to practice how you will give, you know, whether you blow out the candle first, or you let it burn out by itself. The candle light, and there's present everywhere, but it's the candle light. No, remember, don't ever forget this. You are a man, you are a woman of purpose in life. There is something that God wants you to do. When you see a problem in life, you meditate upon it. God will give you understanding. It's important. What I'm saying is very important. That is how your vision gets enlarged. That's what I'm talking about. One, you are informed. Two, you think about the thing that is going on. Then God begins to throw ideas into your hands. Listen to me. Don't ever throw those ideas away. Even though they don't look workable now. Do you get my point? Don't ever, ever let them slip away from you. Because, you see, what God wants to do in life, it will come as an idea. The thing that, go and talk to them, people like Richard Branson and all of them. I give an example of Mary Kay Ash. Now, go and see. What made them very great in life were ideas. Listen to me, those ideas are generated by God, though. Do you follow my point? And God just comes to the ready heart. The heart who is not going around grumbling that everything is bad, who recognizes that the badness of everything is a sign that I have a job to do. Those are the people that God gives ideas to. Do you understand my point? Let me end with this. Don't forget, life is in phases. Bishop Oyedepo will say, and men are in sizes. You have to understand your level at a time that you can fulfill certain ideas. Do you get my point? But remember, each time it keeps getting bigger. And don't ever, until the day you pass away from this earth, ever let your going forth, that is your dreaming, your envisioning greater things, don't let it ever stop. That is what will keep your life. Any man who is content, if you make it in life and you made it by the age of 30, say I said it, you won't live beyond 40. That is, you are content. You have nothing again. 40 years of age, you are dead. You are even a risk to your children. Do you understand my point? You must keep advancing. That is what will guarantee you a long and peaceful life. Peace in life does not mean there are no challenges. Peace in life means you are always winning. Did you hear what I said? Peace doesn't mean there's no trouble. Peace means that anytime there is trouble, you force it to comply. Do you get what I'm saying? So don't ever become settled. Now I am made. That expression, one brother died once. I want to explain something to you. And the day I heard he died was a young man. In his late 20s or early 30s. I think late 20s. You know, the day they told me that this guy died, you know, the first thing that I remembered, last time I heard about him, he told the brother he was speaking with, he said, "Oh boy, I have arrived." That was the last thing I remember about him. That I told somebody, "Oh boy, I have arrived." So in life, my brother, my sister, you must never arrive. I'm telling you, your state of heart now, this aggressive state of heart must continue. It must continue. If Nigeria gets better than it is right now, we'll have greater things to worry about, in quote. You know what I worry about? That is this idea. Yes, we will. I like one thing I heard once, that America had no problem. That is, like, the problem with America is always lack of vision. So Saddam Hussein was a good vision for them. Before it was Russia. Russia ended, no vision again. Thank God for Al-Qaeda. Al-Qaeda bombed them. I praise God. They had vision again. But with their vision, if you've not noticed, they always get stronger. They don't get weaker. After Japan bombed them, Second World War, at the end of the Second World War, they were the strongest people on the earth. Russia became afraid of them. They wore Russia out. You know, war of attrition. God used them to crush Russia from USSR from inside. But they had a vision. Their vision that time was USSR. What do I mean by vision? Have you noticed that their vision is always what? A problem. No, I'm telling you. I thank God for the problem he has confided you with in life. It is why you will live long. Do you get what I'm saying? It is not that you will stay with problem forever. You will conquer it and a bigger one will appear. You are a man on a mission, always conquering kingdoms for God. He said, of the increase of his government and of peace, there shall be no end. You will not be the one to put an end to it. There shall be no end. Do you believe that? All right, let us pray.